Welcome to Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I do have a guest. I will introduce him in a minute. But most of week 7 is in the books. We are recording midday on Monday, so there is still 2 games left tonight. I don't know why NFL keeps on doing it. More about this than, you know, us getting up early in the morning. But nonetheless, on today's show, my guest and I will be talking about some of the injuries that happened, not quite as much as the last few weeks, our thoughts on week 7, and since it's mid-season for fantasy, we are going to do mid-season awards. And finally, don't worry, we got our waiver targets. And we'll give you those. We got a lot to cover. So without further ado, let's get fantasy. Joining me today is Chev. Thank you again for joining me. Go ahead and introduce yourself and give the audience a little taste of yourself.
I appreciate you having me, brother. I was looking forward to it. We finally got the time to line it up. But yeah, I'm Chev. I started with the news desk. I do some stuff for Player Profiler, the Roto Underworld channel. We do kickers and defense and trade gods. Also, we have the FFD Fantasy, which we're on the Player Profiler now, Player Profiler feed, podcast feed, and at the FFD Fantasy, if you're so inclined to go subscribe over there and support your boy, doing a lot of redraft content through the FF Dynasty, who's also a partner with Player Profiler, and also the co-host and co-founder of Two Guys, One Pod, and the League Champ app. Go download that in the App Store and the Google Play Store. It's a lot, bro. But we're here and we're ready to get into it. So let's get it going.
Yeah, for sure. You're always busy, but yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I've been wanting to have you on. I've reached out and thanks for making time. Bro, how was your week 7 so far? Well, we got 2 more games left and yeah.
I need a miracle. I need a miracle in league. So I'm in a lot of leagues and So there's some rebuilders. I love football and I love fantasy football. So I'm in 47 leagues total. Ooh. Between redraft, fantasy, best ball, managed best ball or not managed best ball, but best ball dynasty leagues, like 47 leagues. I couldn't tell you what the record is. I know that's on a show sheet. I'm not going to try to add it up. It's going pretty good on the redraft side. It's going okay on the contending dynasty side and the rebuilders are waiting to get rebuilt. So that's how it goes.
Right. I agree. Well, let's jump into it. You know, week 7, not so many injuries this week, but we do have a few to report. Chris Olave did head to the medical tent, but came back and he dominated. It's great performance for him. Finally gets in the end zone, not once, but twice. And that's what us fantasy gamers have been wanting for a long time, for him to get in the end zone.
The expected fantasy points need actually turning into, you know, actual fantasy points for week 7. We give him the gold star.
Yes, absolutely. Second in the league for targets so far. And then Drake May had to the medical tent as well. And I mean, it was just a brief moment and he was already back on the field. I thought he might have had a concussion based on the way his head hit. It kind of looked like the Marvin Harrison situation in week 6, but he came back and he put a pounding on.
I'm a Titans fan, bro. I don't know if you can see it yet.
Well, congratulations on your interim head coach not winning a game.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna put the hat on right now.
Oh boy. Oh, here we go. Don't worry. I used to be a Titans fan back in Eddie George's days, but still always a Packer fan.
Hey man, I get it. It's ugly. We weren't very competitive. I know he now holds the record for completion percentage in a single game for the Patriots. Kudos to him. I was, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I'm super, super excited for what he's doing. I mean, he's clearly taking a step forward. So, yeah. But, I mean, he beat the crap out of my team yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. Jaden Daniels, hamstring it sounded like, and did not return. I mean, it looked like he got rolled up on. I didn't know if it was his ankle, but came out and it's supposed to be his hamstring, I thought I seen. But is it another RG3 moment type style? I know a lot of people keep on saying don't use those words, but we've seen it time and time again with rushing quarterbacks.
I mean, this was just a – I mean, it's a freak injury. This happened, I mean, Joe Burrow, you have pocket pass. It just – if you get hit the wrong way, man – football is an attrition sport. Like you're going to get injured. And that just seems to be where he's at right now. I mean, it was an awkward twist and takedown. And now he's got a hamstring strain after, I believe, what it was, the PCL on the opposite leg.
Yep.
You know, going into week one or two, or is it two?
I think maybe it was week two he had.
Yeah. But at any rate, like this is just stacking up to be a lost season. And this is why you can't, you know, we can't move with any sort of certainty about, you know, how these players are going to perform. This guy's locked in to be a top. Like, yes, Jaden Daniels is still awesome. But, yep. I mean, he's just dealing with – I mean, he's getting hit with some unfortunate injuries right now. Is he still – I mean, this – honestly, the best part about this is that it might create a buy window in, you know, in various formats, in Dynasty. You know, if you want to go trade for him and redraft, somebody might drop him. Like, somebody in a work league that I'm in, somebody dropped him. So you get these windows of opportunity that you didn't think that you were going to be able to have. So yeah, really it sucks, but I would not overreact to this too much.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's not CJ Stroud, you know. He's not going to take that big of a step back.
Right.
That team overall, it's been hell of watching with that offense line. But yeah, it's definitely a buy time if you can afford it. If somebody's looking to move on from him.
Right. If you get emotional and you're mad because he had a great matchup and he didn't perform well and you want to sell him, I will buy. I promise.
Yes, definitely. 100%.
I'm talking
to Bryce Young.
Go ahead. Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm talking to one specific person, and that is the Jaden Daniels owner in every league that I don't have him.
Yeah, I would too. Bryce Young did leave and did not come back. It sounds like he's got a high ankle sprain. I just got the notification right before we jumped on. He's going to be missing week 8, potential a little bit more. I mean, is it really that big of a hit for the Panthers in general, or is it just personal for him, you know, missing time when he needs it?
So this is really interesting because I saw this, you know, during that Carolina. Unfortunately, I'm a Ted Aroa McMillan truther, so I was tuned in. I was tapped in for a number of reasons yesterday. One, I wanted to see how he did against Sauce Gardner, and Jalen Coker was making his debut. And then I wanted to see the backfield split. So him getting hurt was unfortunate. But they did something really important. They got a road win, but they, you know, Christmas, you know, the Bills come and do this week because the Bills are coming to town in Carolina and they've been great at home. So I wanted to see how that went. But at the same time, like, it's the Bills and they've lost 2 games in a row. Like, this could be absurd, especially if, you know, Bryce Young's not going to be out there. Now, Andy Dalton's capable. I think Andy Dalton is very capable, but it just, I don't know. I hope that this is not something that sets him back. I like Bryce Young a lot too. So, this is unfortunate to see him, you know, already ruled out for week 8, which that signals to me that might be a multi-week injury, but we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. With the high ankle sprain and, you know, he's not as mobile as he projects, I guess. He's more of a pocket passer. He's got
rushing touchdowns last year.
He does. He's mobile. Yeah. But overall, I think, you know, and surprised that they use Xavier Leggett more. He led the team in yards, but it's just a huge blow personal to me for Bryce Young just because he's still getting his feet wet and you don't want them to be like, okay, it's time to move on. He's not the right guy, or, you know, the turnover of him.
Yeah.
But I think he's maybe the couple of weeks, you know, once again, like last year, he sat behind Andy Dalton, learned a little bit more, comes out the last, what, 6-7 weeks. He was quarterback 8-9 on the season. But,
No, he was awesome, that back stretch. Hopefully we get more of that down, like, once he's healthy again.
Yes, definitely. Darren Waller, I don't know if he tore his pectoral, but he did leave the game and did not return. He is out immediately. You and I discussed before, we didn't really watch too much of the, you know, the Dolphins game in general. I didn't, but it sucks because he is just coming into his own, you know, coming from the rat booth to the gridiron and having 4 touchdowns on the season, now potentially out for the season. I don't know exactly, but it sounds like he's going to miss a couple of weeks.
Hopefully we can get this is something that's just, hey, we're going to miss a couple of weeks, or, you know, he strained it and we were getting blown out, so we didn't want to. He's a vet. We'll see.
Yep. A couple of other ones we'll get into real quick and then get into games. Cole Kmet back, did not return. I mean, that could light up more for Colson Loveland, hence why he was drafted 10th overall. Get him more touches would be probably a key thing for this Ben Johnson offense and show you why they drafted him in 10th, especially after seeing Tyler Warren going off each and every week. Dontavian Wicks, calf, did not return. I mean, he's currently, what, their wide receiver 4 at this point, 5.
Yeah.
And then with Christian Watson coming back, it could be even pushed down further.
Yep, absolutely.
Kendre Miller, though, he did leave with a knee injury and did not return. I don't know the extent of it, but it just sucks. This guy cannot stay on the field. He's a great player overall. He's got all the, you know, tools in the bag and just cannot stay healthy.
Yeah. It sucks. Like, it's just his body doesn't like football. I mean, there's not a lot you can do about that.
Definitely. Agreed. Let's get into some of these games. Let's talk about them. I mean, again, we are recording Monday midday, so there's still 2 games. Who's to say what they're going to turn out to be? But also, how do you feel about Mondays having 2 games? Do you like it? Do you not?
Yeah. We're not in an era where you have to, like, get up and change the channel, with like physically get up and walk to the television to change the channel. So if there's 2 Monday Night Football games on, like, I can just split screen, or I can just flip back and forth between the games. Like, I'm excited, bro. There's no scenario. Like, I see people getting upset about the 1 o'clock game, the 1 o'clock slate being bad. And, like, yeah, the NFL could do something to make it to where there's a few more balanced games in different windows. And, you know, you have a little bit more of a balanced slate on the late, you know, the late afternoon slate. There's only 3 games, usually 3 or 4 games at most. Yep. But, brother, in February, mid-February, like after Valentine's Day, okay, we're going to be begging for stuff like this. You understand?
Yep.
Like, I'm old. So I remember when it was just like you had to, like, refresh your phone every, like, or you couldn't even, like, pull Yahoo up on your phone, and you had so all of this is a dream come true for me. Right. I absolutely love it. I'm never going to complain. Could it be structured better? Yes, but it's not a perfect world, but it's the world we got. So I'm rolling with it.
You got dial-up internet, chicken the box score, whatever else.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, hey, man, I just want to know did my player score a touchdown? Like, you know, life before red zone. That's how long I've been playing fantasy football.
Oh, definitely.
So I don't have any issue whatsoever with 2 Monday Night Football games.
Yep. All right, what was your favorite game this past weekend and why?
I saw that you put in the Colts Chargers, and that was gonna be the talking point, but we can talk about it when we get to yours. But I'll go Giants Broncos, just because it was, you know, the significance. If you followed Denver Broncos at all, they were honoring Demaryius Thomas today. They scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. Demaryius Thomas died at age 33, and he was selected 33rd overall, I believe, by the Broncos. So there's, like, all this weird symmetry between, like, you know, honoring Demaryius Thomas and what they did. So that was super cool. But also from a fantasy perspective, Jackson Dart and Bo Nix put on a show yesterday. Jackson Dart, I saw that he's finished as a QB3. He's going into Monday Night Football. He's a QB3, and that would be his second QB3 performance in a row. And I believe the worst that he's finished so far is like QB16.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, this is I'm starting to believe this is a real bona fide QB1, and there's no reason to question him. But also, Bo Nix was lights out in the fourth quarter. So we had a bunch of wild stuff from an entertainment perspective. That game was definitely the most entertaining. You know, the fourth quarter of that game was probably the most entertaining that we'll see all season long. So, yeah, really excited. Saw some high-level quarterback play. And CTE Scat Pack, Cam Scatabo was going. I mean, he's just doing his normal stuff, man. I don't know how you feel about him. I liked him, and then he got steamed up too much. And then I was like, I got to back off. But now, you know, it seems like I'm late to the band. I don't really care, but, like, he's just fun. Is he not?
It's amazing to see him and Dart combine. Just two kids, it looks like, having, you know, a backyard football game, just excited to be outside and playing. And, you know, after every win the last couple of weeks, they had those, you know, 4-4-6 in the house and all this and all the press game. And just two guys that are enjoying football and actually being out there together. And this is all without their number one wide receiver, you know, Malik Nabers. Just imagine next year what it could be. It's exciting to watch New York. I thought Jackson Dart was going to have a little hard time. I thought the Broncos would throw a different, you know, scheme at him. Unfortunately for the Broncos, they were actually fortunate that they pull off the win. But, yeah, I just can't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild.
Four total touchdowns. It's pretty wild.
But also, man, like, if somehow Daboll keeps that job and they find a way to, you know, be not horrible, and, like, how highly are Jackson Dart and Cam Scatabo going to get drafted next year?
Yeah, agreed. And redrafts or startups. I mean, are you upset that your Titans didn't draft Dart, or are you okay with Cam Ward?
Okay, so this is important, okay? There was, like, Jackson Dart always had a higher fantasy ceiling than Cam Ward because he runs. And if you did any sort of research about Jackson Dart prior to this, you knew that he runs. Like, he's a mobile quarterback that's going to have – so I never objected the fact that there was going to be a much better run out for him from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
Now – is he in an environment that's much, much better? And it's wild to say that because the Giants seem like one of the most dysfunctional organizations out there. Yes. So I would still take Cam Ward. I just want to see him in a functional. It's like the CJ Stroud and Bryce Young argument.
Yep.
Like, hey, you drop this dude into the middle of, you know, the middle of a war zone and say, hey, man, just figure it out. And you drop this other guy into a situation that's just like, everybody thinks it's horrible, but he's just the missing piece and it functions. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. I love Cam Ward's work ethic. You know, after every game, he's saying, I got to play better. You know, we're playing like ass or whatever the case may be. Right. But, you know, during the offseason, he's going to be that guy that's actually going to put in the time and effort compared to some people, you know, that are just like, I'm God's gift, or, you know, I'm just that good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, dude, I'm so excited about this. Like, I just want some stability. I don't want to talk about the Titans very long, 'cause people are going to turn this off because, you know, but yeah, I just want some stability so that you could properly evaluate what's going on out there. 'Cause you see the flashes, but, you know, it's just like a flash from the trash can. Like, I don't, you know, there's only so much you could do.
Right. Well, yeah, you mentioned mine, Colts versus Chargers. I mean, look at Danny Dimes redefining his career possibly in his first year as a Colt. Went 23 for 34, 288, two passing touchdowns, had 7 yards on the ground. I mean, he's just been red hot, dominant, top 10 quarterback right now in fantasy. And then you might have the offense player of the year, or – I mean, potential MVP, Jonathan Taylor, you know, running with attitude. Ever since he dropped that fumble last year, heading into the goal line, he's just been on a man on a mission. 94 yards on the ground, has a hat trick with three touchdowns. And also, he's catching balls out of the backfield. Three catches, 38 yards. I just love it. And even in the passing game for the Colts, they had Josh Downs miss with a concussion with a concussion during the practice this week. But without him, Alec Pierce stepped up, led the team 10 targets, catching 5 for 98. Tyler Warren is becoming a rookie that you wanted to draft higher, and he finished with 4 catches, 69 yards, dilly dilly, and 1 score. Finally, Michael Pittman Jr. hauled in 7 catches, 58 yards, and a score as well. Oh, looks like I lost Chev. 1 second. And then also I'll talk even, you know, with the Chargers on that. Justin Herbert was playing from behind. I did not expect him to throw 55 times in this game for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had 2 picks, but he also had 31 yards on the ground. Kamai Vidal did struggle on the ground, rushing 9 attempts for 20 yards. But again, they were playing from behind, meaning they were throwing in the game. He did catch 4 passes for 15 yards, which is great that you want to see. And then Ladd McConkey had team-high 15 targets, 9 catches, 67 yards. Keenan Allen had 14 targets, but caught 11 for 119 and a score. Quentin Johnson returns after missing last week, 2 catches, 30 yards, but another score. And finally, my guy, Aronde Gadsden caught 7 catches, 164 yards, and a score. He is dominant in this game. But yes, this game had everything we could want and could ever want more, you know, needed. We needed that because it shows that Justin Herbert can pass in this offense and all. And I just really like seeing that, getting Aronde Gadsden in. Welcome back, Chev.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. I have no idea what on earth happened just then.
Yeah, I was just telling him, you know, about my favorite game, and it's just everything we wanted and more with this game.
Oh, yeah. This is
listen, anything else.
I mean, this is a fantasy smorgasbord. I mean, you had Tyler Warren breaking out. You had Aronde Gadsden. I mean, you had Tyler Warren continuing to break out. You had Aronde Gadsden breaking out. You had Jonathan Taylor, you know, basically continuing his rampage on the, you know, the RB1 tour. You had Daniel Jones. I heard you say Daniel Jones before my computer just decided to go on take a nap or whatever just happened. But all that to say, yeah, this was the most fantasy goodness from one game. And I just couldn't be happier because I was all over Aronde Gadsden throughout the whole draft process. And this seeing this play out is just absolutely chef's kiss.
Oh, always. Can you actually believe Colts are 6-1 in this, in leading the AFC?
This was always an outcome. I didn't believe that it was. I mean, they went 8-9 with zero stability at quarterback. So there's clearly a talented roster here.
Right.
And, you know, they moved on. You know, they moved on and hired Matt Eberflus. You know, they moved away from Gus Bradley, or not Eberflus, not Fleberflus. Lou Anarumo from the Bengals is what I was trying to say. Fleberflus was there a while back, and he's in Dallas now, and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, this was in the range of outcomes. This is the 99th percentile runout, and they're quite literally the most efficient offense in terms of EPA per play, like, in the modern era. So, you know, Shane Steichen, we saw him thrive in several different environments. It just, you know, this is more of an indictment on Anthony Richardson than anything. If you're, you know, if we're being honest, and I was an Anthony Richardson guy, I thought he had, you know, he was basically a moldable piece of clay, but I mean, he just, I don't know. Some pieces of clay you can't mold.
No, it Just take the checkdowns when you can. You don't have to heave it long every play.
Right. And that's the thing is Daniel Jones is doing a perfect job of like, hey, I can hit the shot play. I can hit explosive plays, but also I can, you know, I can dump it off to Jonathan Taylor and give me a free first down. I can jump it. I can dump it off to Josh Downs. I can hit, you know, Michael Pittman short over the, like he's operating at a elite level right now. And there's, you know, there's not, it's not fluky. It's not gimmicky. It's not, you can't really question it at this point. So yeah.
Is this another Sam Darnold?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Just rectify his career and, you know, redefining himself and showing he can be a franchise quarterback once again.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he didn't, you know, if this continues, he's going to get, you know, a 9-figure payday just like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold did before him. Yep. Like this is the new normal in the NFL. You quit too soon on a guy or you don't give him any support and then they get some support and then all of a sudden it's like, this is why, but I've never been a Daniel Jones guy, but I'm not a hater either. Like, no, I see you being good. I'm going to call it like it is. Like he's balling right now.
Yep. Let's just talk quickly about a couple of these other games here. Saints versus Bears. I mean, Spencer Rattler, I think he's been relatively pretty good, impressive compared for fantasy numbers. He's getting a little bit better each and every week, passing as a quarterback in general, but two touchdowns, but three interceptions. A lot of those three interceptions were just bad throws deep downfield. Rashid Shaheed walking by himself and then just hung it up there a little too long a couple times. Kamara, you know, he continues to struggle in the rushing game, 28 yards on 11 carries. But, hey, our guy, Chris Olave, 5 catches, 98 yards, and 2 scores. I love seeing that production. He finally gets in the end zone. That's what we're here for, and we want to see each and every week for him.
Yeah, this was an interesting game because Spencer Rattler had been playing really clean football, and this Saints team had been just slowly climbing the ladder in terms of, hey, they're not the worst team that I've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of the expectation. Like, man, between Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck, who's going to get them the number one pick in 2026? And they're probably still on pace for that. I think right now they have like the sixth or the seventh pick. They're 1-5. They're right there, or 1-6 now.
Yep.
They're right there, you know, with some of the worst teams in the league, but they're fun to watch. Like they're plucky.
Yeah.
But Spencer Rattler was stinky yesterday. I mean, he had the basically, what was it, 4 turnovers?
I believe he lost a fumble too. Yeah, I believe 4.
Yeah.
3 interceptions and fumble.
Yeah, he had been running really good from a turnover perspective. The Bears defense has been forcing turnovers left and right. So this is a unit that we might have to start paying more attention to from a fantasy perspective. And then the Bears also seem to be getting it together on the ground. They ran for 200 plus yards yesterday.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Swift. I know he came in with a questionable designation, 124 in a score, but then Kyle Manunga, 81 in a score. I mean, is it starting to become a 50-50 backfield, or do you think Manunga got it because of the game script of being ahead? Swift is hurt currently, but – you know, Manungai did get that first touchdown early on in the game, so could be with, you know, what could be the future.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, there's a couple things we have to pay attention to. One, the Chicago Bears can move on from DeAndre Swift for like $3 million in dead cap in 2026. Yeah. So the more that Kyle Manungai shows, the more likely that number is going to play into where DeAndre Swift plays football in 2026. DeAndre Swift looked great. He's looked great the last couple of weeks, but Kyle Manungai was a guy that he's a grinder. He gets what's there. He's, you know, he's reliable. It's slowly but surely coming along. I'm actually working on my waiver show, you know, for the pickups this week now. And Kyle Manungai is a guy that's definitely on the list because this is signal, not noise. They upgraded that offensive line, and if they're going to just go to being run heavy and go 12 personnel, this is – Kyle Manungai could have weekly flex appeal. So, but we'll talk about that more here in a second.
Yeah, I know Roman Dunze did have a pretty much dud game. Unfortunate. I mean, he cost me $300 in a anytime touchdown parlay, but you know, whatever.
That's so gross. Cause I mean, it's two bad weeks in a row, but I mean, he got a touchdown callback last week. So now people are going to start panicking about Roman Dunze, and it's so ridiculous, but I understand.
Hey, it's a buy option now. yeah, we'll touch game or base on this game only. Next one. Eagles and Vikings, 28-22. Jalen Hurts, over 300 yards. Who would have predicted this? I know Minnesota's front seven is pretty good against the run. Barkley only 44 on the ground. But Devontae Adams, new career high, 183 yards receiving and one touchdown. And then A.J. Brown, you know, once he caught that touchdown, he said, throw the effing ball. You know, this is what happens when you throw it. I don't know if you've seen that video yet, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you have, yeah, with two touchdowns. Just unbelievable. Probably, like, one of the better performances we've seen from Jalen Hurts throwing-wise.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's weird because it seems like the Eagles are trying to find their identity with Kevin Petullo and trying to figure out how to move the ball without just leaning so heavily on Saquon and like, you know, just the offensive line being the best offensive line in the league, which clearly it's taken a step back and that's affected everyone. But you do have two rare talents at wide receiver and a really, really good tight end. So this shouldn't be a problem. But even on that touchdown, we don't spend too much time on this, but even on that touchdown, like that was the route Jalen Hurts, they're just kind of playing scramble drill. Like he stopped right next to a defender and Jalen Hurts was like, keep running. And that's how the first touchdown happened. So it's very strange. It doesn't seem like they have I won't say like they don't have any continuity, but they don't have a synergy or a flow, or it's just not, it's right. Disjointed. So watching the Eagles with all that talent, it's painful in some ways because it's like, man, this should be so easy. Like imagine Kyle Shanahan with that outfit. Imagine Sean McVay, like they're dialing it up over there. But imagine, you know, a great play caller, a great OC with that unit. Like it could get diabolical. So, I mean, Kellen Moore last year.
Yep.
Like, you see that there's a difference between what's happening now and what happened then. But, yeah.
Yep, definitely. Are you ready to see J.J. McCarthy back for the Vikings, though? Are you done with Carson Wentz?
We're always done with Carson Wentz. We were never in on Carson Wentz. I am a Carson Wentz denier.
Yep.
You know, it's just he can do some things, but it's just between the ears, like his decision making will always be his downfall. So
yeah.
I want to see JJ McCarthy get back in there, take your lumps. Like if this is gonna be a lost season, this is the bed you made. You gotta lay in it. Like you chose to let Sam Darnold walk. Sam Darnold's operating one of the best pass offenses in the NFL with one of the best coordinators that we just talked about from the Shanahan tree and Clint Kubiak. My bad. Clay is actually the offensive coordinator in San Francisco now. But yeah, it's I want to see what JJ McCarthy has just so we can figure out, hey, is this more of a we have to do everything around him or can he actually – you know, carry the mail like Sam Darnold was in the passing game last year.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, he's that band-aid that you put over a big scrape for a kid, you know, and kiss it and say, well, hopefully it gets better. But
right.
Nonetheless.
Man, I'm with you.
All right. Before we get in our midseason awards, let's hear a word from the Podfather on Flex 6 Frenzy.
I know your sad draft season is over, but just because the NFL season starts doesn't mean the drafting stops, because Fast Draft has the Flex 6 Frenzy. You're drafting six guys for the Sunday slate against nine other competitors. It's fast, it's furious, it's fun, and as with everything on Fast Draft, there are no salaries! Woo! So go to draftfaster.com, get the app, use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. Now let's go start drafting faster.
Yes, download Fast Draft Chev, a couple weeks ago, you did pretty well on that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so we were going for I won the Flex Six Frenzy 1 week, and then I was in first and had Tucker Kraft, didn't have George Pickens, ended up coming in 10th the next week. And I mean, it's been pretty good. Like I've done fairly well this year. And
yeah, last week, week six, I think I was 5th and 7th, but
yeah,
can't complain. You have a promo code you want to shout it out?
Yeah, it's at Chev90.
All right. There you go. Add Chev90 for a dollar match up to $50. All right. Now, these midseason awards are directed towards fantasy purposes only. You know, we could sit here and say all the MVPs and all that. It's probably going to have to be a quarterback. But, Chev, give me your MVP so far midseason for fantasy.
For fantasy? Oh, it's got to be. I mean, it's got to be Puka Nacua. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean, this was, if you believed in anything with the McVay offense, you had all the things about wide receiver production since McVay took over in 2017. And Puka Nacua has been nothing short of spectacular. And, you know, him having Devontae Adams in the running back, this is also somewhat of a Matthew Stafford thing. And I'm sure that you're going to get into that here shortly. But yeah, this is kind of a, hey, you got the perfect system and you just took a guy in Cooper Kupp who did this. And then you made him, you know, you made him Polynesian, and then you just fast forward to 2025 and they're doing it again. So Puka Nacua is going to be my fantasy MVP right now.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. I know the injury does suck. It does play a little role, but for me, it's gotta be Jonathan Taylor. You know, his start to the season's just been historic. Where you were drafting him at 209 in drafts, 10th running back off the board. So far this season, 10 rushing touchdowns, one through the air, just shy of 700 yards, averaging over almost 100 yards a game. And Daniel Jones, I mean, at the rings, we're not getting Anthony Richardson taking away touchdowns or anything like that. So Taylor is, you know, getting it all. I mean, Daniel Jones can rush if he needs to, but he's more of a 30, 40 yard, just randomly busted loose for a touchdown. Not, hey, 5 yards. Richardson doesn't know how to slide. He throws his body around. That's why he's always been injured. And Jonathan Taylor is here to stay, and he's just been dominant so far this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no qualms or questions about that. I've been a big fan of Jonathan Taylor for a while, and them actually using his full skill set is beautiful to see.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, once, I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, so once you know, my wife and I get the basement done, we got all the jerseys signed by like all the top running backs from Wisconsin, so I'll have to have those posted.
Y'all got a lot of them too.
All right, who's your biggest bust of the year so far?
Calvin Ridley. That's easy. Yeah, Calvin Ridley. It's been, I had high hopes. A lot of people, myself included, were buying into the narrative of this year's Terry McLaurin, and it's been worse than I ever could have possibly imagined. So I, fortunately, I don't have a ton of Calvin Ridley in redraft. So it just, I mean, I'm a fan of the Titans, as you can see by the hat and the Corey Davis jersey back there, but I absolutely despise everything that I've seen from Calvin Ridley this year. So
yeah, and then the injury on top of it, like it's like a guy that you want to always put in your lineup just because he might have that one breakoff game, and then you're like, we're back, baby.
Yeah,
the following week he gets a injured hamstring, but right. yeah
like, hey, it could be a boat, but most likely it's just a flaming pile of dog poop on your door.
Yes, definitely. Mine, I'm going to have to go with Brian Thomas Jr. I know personally in a lot of my leagues, I was drafting in the back half. So I have a lot of shares of Brian Thomas Jr. And some of the gun's been killing me. I mean, his ADP, 201, 8th wide receiver off the board. It's just so bad when you look back, and he's getting outperformed by Travis Hunter this past week. I mean, Hunter's got to get involved. And so does Thomas. But we have to look back last year at the end of the season. He was getting all these targets and all this work, but his quarterback was Mac Jones. And we just see it right now. Mac Jones still throwing for 300 yards in San Francisco. New head coach, new offensive scheme. It's just so bad seeing Brian Thomas letting us all down. Hopefully going into their week 8 bye week, he could turn things around the second half and come back out on top for us. But it's not looking that way.
No, it's not looking that way at all, dude. It stinks because this is why you can't solve the game of fantasy. Because nope. If you sat here and you told somebody in early September before a game was played that Brian Thomas Jr. would be an absolute disaster and a bust, they would laugh at you.
Yep.
Like, or tell you, you're wrong, or get really defensive, or do the weird thing on the internet that people do when they disagree with you and just act like you've attacked them personally. But this is why fantasy is not solvable. Like the Monstars came and took Brian Thomas's powers, and now we're trying to find ways to cope with it. Whereas, not just a month ago, a month and a half ago, he was a top 5 or top 7 dynasty receiver.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. He's got to find that football and get his powers back, Space Jam. who's your sleeper of the year award currently?
Jake Ferguson.
I like it.
Jake Ferguson. So, have him too. I've been screaming for Tucker Kraft and Rondae Gaston and Tyler Warren and like the guy that I stocked up on in 2024 and it completely bombed and made me look foolish was Jake Ferguson. And now that Dak's back, Jake Ferguson has been pretty much lights out. So yep. I'm really excited for him season long. And I think that this is sticky. This offense is going to be one of the most pass heavy offenses in the league. And they've got an awesome kick-ass run game coordinator they brought over from the Cardinals. And now the Cardinals can't run the stinging ball at all. And the Cowboys have revived Javonte Williams. So it's just all the pieces and everything is working together. I mean, he leads the league at the tight end position in receptions. He's got 51 receptions and he's got 6 touchdowns so far. So, like, we're getting the volume and the touchdown regression from the 2023 season where he led the league in end zone targets. So Jake Ferguson's going to be my sleeper of the year.
Yeah. I cannot deny that. I mean, I'm going to stick with the same team. Javonte Williams, you brought him up. Currently RB5 on the year. No one wanted any shares of this backfield for Dallas. Is he going to be good enough? Is he not? That's why he's a starter and he's getting drafted 10-11 off the board, 33rd overall. But also, it's just such a mess with, you have him, you add in Miles Sanders, which was getting a lot of report during the offseason that he's looking really good in this offense. And then you draft Jaden Blue and, his skill set match and all this. And come find out it's Javonte Williams. You brought up the offense or the run coordinator. He's turned things around. This team just reminds me of the Bengals last year. It's bad defense, but the offense is scoring on every level, averaging just shy of 32 points per game each and every week. You want a piece of this Cowboys team, and also even on the opposing side for your DFS lineups, and that's usually how I've been doing it. But I love what this Cowboys team's doing. Javonte Williams is, again, like Daniel Jones, redefining his career, and hopefully Jerry Jones gives him a little bit more of a, cushion to stay there, you'd say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's we'll see, because they've been, they went the whole, pay Zeke route, and then they let Tony Pollard walk, and then they let, they let Rico Dowdle walk, and they lucked into Javonte Williams, and now we'll see if they go back to the well again. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this, but, they basically paid Javonte what they could have paid Rico Dowdle. Both guys are awesome, clearly. So, I don't know. Does this support the point that you just keep re-rolling at the running back position? Clearly, you can't play real football like that.
Right.
But it seems that the Cowboys are just making their own rules, and they seem to be somewhat effective right now.
Right. Now they don't have all that money tied up with Micah Parsons anymore, and they have more leeway, too, to do what they wish.
Absolutely.
Who is your Show Me More award this year or so far? You want to see more of him?
I wasn't. So just like somebody who I like that's been underperforming?
That, or you just want to see more and more from this player in general?
Oh, well, I mean, if we're just saying like who, like Show Me More, the player I want to see more of is Trevion Henderson.
That's what I was going to pick, but I was like, I want a different rookie.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to see more of Trevion Henderson, but the guy that I'm most concerned about that I was, you know, pounding the table for, Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Nico's got one finish inside the top 10 and one finish inside the top 20, and all the rest have been outside of the top basically 40, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. And, you know, he was on the crazy 2,000 yard pace before he tore his hamstring up last year. And then this year, we're basically drafting him as a wide receiver one at the back end of the first round. Like, you might have, there's a lot of leagues I know that went, the guys went Drake London and then came back with Nico Collins or vice versa. Yep. That one of those guys has been good for some stretches, and one of those guys is Nico Collins. So I would love to see Nico Collins just find some consistency out of this bye, and hopefully he can get on the right track tonight and, you know, do some work against the Seahawks defense.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, and definitely agree with Trevion Henderson. Like, we have to, he only got like 0.5 fantasy points this week. Like, give him more touches.
Yeah, he had 2 carries for 5 yards yesterday, dude. It's absolutely absurd.
And I thought, you know, after preseason, the award would have been like the highest uprated guy. I think he's getting taken originally at like 7th round. Then he jumped all the way up to 401. And I was hammering the table, said this guy's going to be good. And let me,
man, I honestly think he is good. I just think
he is good. Yeah.
I think Vrabel hates rookies. And I knew that. Yeah. Like, I knew that, and then I ignored it because I saw the just like you, I saw that. I saw the kick return. I saw the touchdown run in the preseason. I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. We are. Hey, I'm feeling something.
Yeah.
And little did I know that a month later it would be that I'm feeling like an idiot. So, yeah.
I mean, you would know, too, that Vrabel hates rookies, especially with the Titans. You know, what did he do with the Derrick Henry? Oh, you're going to be in behind what, DeMarco Murray?
Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks. Like, the list goes on and on and on. Like, he hates Davis. Rookies. It is, and I knew this, and I still, this is why you can't solve fantasy, because you can have the information, but then you can go get some more information that doesn't really, you can't refute what you know to be fact. But you just choose to ignore, like, you choose to believe whatever this is over here, and then you end up with Trevion Henderson on your bench because you know you can't cut him. Because the minute you cut him, Ramondre's leg's gonna fall off in like a sawmill accident in his backyard or something like that. So, yeah, it's just the worst possible scenario, the worst possible run out you could imagine.
Yep. For me, it's Ash and Jainty. Like, again, ADP around 201, 112. 6th running back taken. He is 6th overall this year in the NFL draft. With that high draft capital, you want to give him 15 to 25 touches a game. And he just had 6 carries and 1 catch yesterday. It's not going to get it done. I know with this Pete Carroll's offense and Chip Kelly, I thought this would be a match made in heaven. You know, you get a guy that's a proven running back in the last couple of years of college into this Chip Kelly offensive role, and it has not performed at all yet in my eyes. And I want to see more of that. Maybe even save Pete Carroll's job. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, jobless, but so far their team's looking rough. And even Geno Smith on that team is not the answer currently. That offense line is just terrible as well.
So, I mean, this is gross. It's not what you expected, but, you know, you've got to be a little bit level headed and just accept that this might just be, hey, unless we get a really, really good matchup, he's going to disappoint us because they're not using him they're not using him in a way that lends itself to his skill set, like, at all.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. So this is the last award we'll give out. Best waiver pickup so far. Who's yours?
Jackson Dart.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, after this week, it very well could be Aronde Gadsden. Like, I talked about him. I've talked about him for, like, the last post-waiver. Hey, guys, go stash this guy on waivers, you know, for the last few weeks. I hit Jackson Dart right on the front end, and then that window closed immediately because he hit. But it took a couple weeks, but Aronde Gadsden finally getting snaps. But Jackson Dart's going to be – Jackson Dart is, for fantasy, he's a QB1 for the rest of the season. And I think it's closer to 5 than it is 12.
Yeah, I mean, with the rushing upside on top of it all, you cannot – discredit that. Yeah. Mine is Matthew Stafford. It almost gives you the Baker Mayfield, you know, vibes from last season. Wasn't really highly drafted. And then you picked him up and he was, what, quarterback 4 or 5 on the year?
Yep.
Stafford currently leads the league in pass yards, air yards, also top 5 in pass attempts, deep ball pass attempts, red zone attempts, pace of play, money throws, danger plays, and passing touchdowns. Perhaps you drafted guys like, you know, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, or even Joe Burrow, and you needed somebody. This man easily filled that void and doing much more. This man needs his roses. I'm going to give it to him. He's got to be my best fantasy or waiver ad so far this season.
Oh, absolutely. That's a smash pick, dude. I love that.
Yeah. I after week one, I think I had him on my waiver top guy. And then you were talking about Jackson Dart. I had him right before they announced that day that he was going to be the starter too. Yeah. I had him and Aronde Gadsden in that same time. I was like, God damn it. Why did I not get all of them? Cause I'd be happy as much.
No, dude. So one of my buddies hit me up and, you know, we're in a bunch of dynasty leagues together and we've been playing in leagues together since like 2010. And he was like, man, he was like, trade me one of your tight ends because I have Tucker Kraft and Tyler Warren. And I was like, it's going to cost you something that you don't want to give up. He was like, well, what should I do? And I was like, he was playing another one of our buddies that I wanted him to beat. And so I was like, pick up Aronde Gadsden. And then about 4:15 yesterday, I just texted him, you're welcome.
Always. All right, let's get on our waivers and get you out of here. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having me, bro.
You know, it's great to have you on. I'm going to have to reach out again. But give me each position and why. These are also guys that are 65% less owned.
Okay, so quarterback's a little tricky. This would be pending Monday Night Football. I put Aaron Rodgers in, but also Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was 36% rostered the last time that I checked, right? It might be a little bit higher now, but Aaron Rodgers and Sam Darnold, I absolutely like. Aaron Rodgers has been efficient from a touchdown perspective, and that's what you're going to have. So if you're just looking for a streamer or a fill-in, this isn't it's not a long-term solution because he doesn't run anymore, and the touchdowns run hot and cold in Arthur Smith's offense. So Aaron Rodgers, and then we talked about Sam Darnold earlier in the show. He's operating at an elite level, you know, full stop, no equivocations. Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold. You want me to go through the whole list?
Through your list and I'll go through mine. We'll do that. Way.
I mean, we're on the same page at the running back position too. So Breshard Smith, again, I've been screaming from the mountaintops since like early February about Breshard Smith, and it's happening just like we said it was. So I'll let you talk about Breshard Smith, because if you know anything about me, you know how much I love Breshard Smith.
Yes, I do.
But, oh, and then Jalen Lane for the Commanders. I don't know what the deal is with Debo. And, you know, Jalen Lane, Chris Moore, Luke McCaffrey, pick your poison there. You can honestly probably just post-waiver stash these guys because Luke McCaffrey didn't record a reception yesterday. Jalen Lane was solid. And then Chris Moore just kind of goes back and forth. I think he had 2 catches for 55 yards yesterday. And then I'll let you talk about the tight end position, but Theo Johnson, I believe now this is his 4th or 5th touchdown since Jackson Dart has taken over. 6'6", 265, Raz score freak. And I think he's going to I think he's going to be in that like upper echelon of the streaming category for tight end. So I'm looking forward to covering him this week.
Yeah. And he's from Penn State. So we all know that's Penn State U. And
hey, tight end U, baby.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree with any of them because my quarterback, Sam Darnold, available in 44% of sleeper leagues, plays the Texans this week or tonight. But the last 4 weeks, he is quarterback 10, 18, 2, 9. However, if you are looking for a streamer for next week, it's not going to be him because he's got a bye week. So yeah. If you're looking for, you know, a couple of weeks looking ahead at your game schedule and you're seeing, hey, this guy's got a bye week coming up, Sam Darnold is the guy I would be targeting.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I can't complain there. And then, yeah, running backs, that's why I put, you know, your guy, Rashard Smith. I knew how much you loved him, so I was like, or I can do Isaiah Davis. Either one for me. Smith, he's just getting utilized more and more. Think of Jerry McKinnon role the last few years, and he's taking on that plus more. You know, last night he got utilized a lot more, and he's currently RB12 on the week, and he only played 35% of snaps this week, and he's RB12. You know, he got the end zone. I mean, it's just love. You love to see it. And for Isaiah Davis, I'm also going to say him to stash only because I don't think Breece Hall finishes the season in a New York uniform. So what's going to happen? You guys stash him, and Allen's out for another couple weeks at least minimum with his knee injury. So I like both of those running backs. My wide receiver is going to be probably a little surprising, but Jack Beck, I have a feeling his usage is going to go upward in the next coming weeks. I mean, in the last 3 weeks, 53%, 75%, and 63% of snaps. And he's available in 93% of leagues. Again, he's coming into a bye week. So we all see rookies after the bye week get involved in the offense more and more. And I think that's going to happen with him. Plus, you never know about Jacoby Myers if he's actually going to finish in a Raiders uniform as well. I think he's in last year of his contract. And he could probably help out a playoff team, you know, maybe like a Commanders. Like, you don't know what's going on with Terry McLaurin or anything like that. So I could, you know, see him start leading the charge. And he is drafted high. There's a reason why you'd probably be drafting him higher. And Aronde Gadsden, I mean, during the offseason, I seen you post a video like, can we start talking about him? And I was like, has no one been listening to me? Because I've been saying it. I'm a huge Syracuse fan. I mean, I was huge on LaQuint Allen, but next week it was Aronde Gadsden. This guy, his dad played in the NFL. He's got, you know, the all capability. At Syracuse, he was, what, 3 seasons, I believe, over 900 receiving yards. Yeah. He is the Kyle Pitts of this offense. He's not going to get you the blocking and all that, but he's going to get you the catches, the end zone targets. He's currently tight end 2 on the week. He had 9 targets this week. Last week, he had 7 catches, and he was another tight end 1 last week.
Yeah.
It's only going up in – you know, trajectory. And I was having a hesitation because Quinn Johnson did miss last week. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're using him a little bit more. This week I seen Quinn Johnson 85% of snaps. And I said, screw this. You know, Aronde Gadsden did this with Quinn Johnson playing almost nearly every snap, Allen playing, and McConkey. Sounds like this is their I guess Joker, if you would, you know, Sean Payton style, we'll go with. But I really like Aronde Gadsden this week for tight end waivers.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, look, if you see something, you say something, and then you have the historical hit rate guys talking about draft capital. And like, bro, if you, like, there's ball watchers and there's ball knowers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you watch Aronde Gadsden play, you know that he can ball. So I'm so glad that, man, that you're on the same page with me. Like, this is fantastic. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, and I think five of my dynasty leagues, I have them in three or four of them because I take him in the fourth round of all my rookie drafts. I'm like, why would I not? This guy is good.
It was free.
Exactly. It was
free.
Yep. And those fifth and, you know, fourth and fifth round rookie drafts usually don't really matter. Those are your throw it in for the trade to get done. Well, hell, I had a couple of those because, you know, hey, give me an extra fourth, give me an extra fifth. And I'm drafting him. I'm drafting, you know, other players late.
The beautiful part just like of this whole deal is like, I, you know, been doing this, you know, making content for like a year and a half, 2 years. So I still play in a bunch of leagues where people have no idea that I make content. So they're just letting me get all the players that I love. And when it works out like this, like you just get a giant boost to your fantasy team, because now if you're in a tight end premium league, you could probably go sell a Rondae Gaston for a second. I wouldn't, because I think he's a superstar, but you could probably price gouge somebody pretty good for a Rondae Gaston.
Yeah. Especially if they're, you know, rebuilding, you could easily throw a third, two thirds or something like that at them. And
oh no, 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 no. The league. So I told you I'm in 47 leagues. I have them in 30 leagues. The leagues that I don't have them in, the people were immediately like, hey man, I think he's a superstar. So there's more of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that like they're real quiet about it, or they don't make content. So people know. Every time that I've tweeted about a Rondae Gaston in the last, like, since I think I started in November of last year, like I did the college football tweets for the Profiler Now. And I still do them, but I tweeted about a Rondae Gaston and it would blow up. So there's people that know that he's going to be awesome.
Exactly. Yep. I love it. Especially, you know, being a huge Syracuse fan, I'm always pounding the table. Sean Tucker's good. He's good.
He and is.
The one time he gets a chance last year, he was what? RB1.
RB1. Yeah.
Come on. Damn.
Yeah.
And same thing with, you know, Quinn Ailey. He's a great running back. And one of the top FF pass blocking running backs right now in the league.
Yeah.
But he just isn't getting the opportunity with, you know, ETN and Tootin, but whatever.
Yeah.
No,
it'll happen. He's only 22, so that's also a positive.
Yeah, he's super young. I think he's only 21, LaQuint Allen is, but Gadsden, I think, is 22. And like I said, his dad played in the NFL, so he knows what it's like to be a NFL player, you know, take care of the body, everything like that. But yeah, that is Fantasy End Zone. I appreciate you, Chev, jumping on. Again, let the fans know where they can find your work and what you might be doing coming up.
All right. So, I mean, all right. It's a lot. The easiest thing to do would be to go to my profile on Twitter X at Chev90. There's a link tree, the Quantum of Chevis. Click on that. That's got everything that I'm working on. But if you wanted to do something to support me, you can go download the League Champ app out of the Google Play Store and the App Store. That is my current pet project that I'm working on that I would appreciate the support on.
Yeah, awesome. So go ahead and do that. Again, you can follow me on X, Twitter as well at Louis Lewis 5, LewyLewis. And till then, I'll see you guys this coming week. With my start sits of the week. And with that, I'll see you fantasy heads next week. Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.